This is another edition of The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wentley Phipps. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. I'm your host for today's program, and I do hope that you will stay tuned to the entire program today because we have a very intriguing title for you. This program is one that's probably appropriate for the millennium, the new millennium, and the title of Pastor Phipps' message today is An Unchanging Christ in a Changing World. Please stay with us as we have special music and this special message for you today here on The More Abundant Life. Just before we get into this very intriguing title, An Unchanging Christ in a Changing World, here's music by Pastor Phipps, a song entitled Somewhere.
Flowers dance in spring, in the icy wind they fade away. Morning brings the dawn, soon the night will come and shade the new day. But I dream of things eternal. I keep this hope burning in my soul, that somewhere the night is shining. Somewhere a world out there is waiting for me. And I believe we'll get there someday, and love will light the way and lead us home. The children well, tell them God has got a home in the sky. Help them find their way to a place where dreams never die. Soon this darkness will be a bright and better day. And oh, somewhere the night is shining. Somewhere a world out there is waiting for me. And I believe we'll get there someday, and love will light the way and lead us home. Somewhere the night is shining. Somewhere a world out there is waiting for me.
You to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. God is good. chapter 13, the last book of Hebrews. There is a scripture in that last chapter that punctuates history. It's one small, little, awesome verse of scripture. Verse 8. It says simply, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My message this morning, an unchanging Christ in a changing world. As we approach the dawn of a new millennium, it is clear that the winds of change and uncertainty are blowing all over the world. The speed with which change is taking place is truly mind-boggling. This tidal wave of cultural and societal change has, in most cases, completely overwhelmed our most cherished institutions. As one writer put it, the throttle of change has been pushed so far forward that in our lifetime it seems that we are looking at what he called the premature arrival of the future. All around us, on every hand, there seems to be nothing in our world that carries with it a sense of permanence. In the celebrated book, Future Shock, published, it's hard to believe, almost 30 years ago now, a visionary by the name of Alvin Toffler wrote in 1970, in a chapter of that book called The Death of Permanence, he said that cities, communities, families, businesses, religious organizations, informational needs, and especially technology have all adopted an affinity to change. He said, to survive, the individual must become infinitely more adaptable and capable than ever before. Each individual, he said, must search out new ways to anchor himself. Are you listening? He said that transience and novelty are the watchwords for today. At one time, he said, in an effort to survive in the marketplace, at one time, companies like some that you work for, used to build products to last, to survive. But now to survive, they have to build them to break down. Because if they don't break down, you won't buy more. It has to break down. Of course, not too quickly, lest you get frustrated. And then not too late, lest you begin to bond too closely to it. They have to arrange it so that after a while, you'll run out and buy another one. It's called planned obsolescence. The way technology is advancing today, you and I know it is often cheaper to buy a new one than to fix the old one. Now, I got to tell you, I have tried. You think you're saving money, so you think you'll try to fix the old one. I tried, I'll never do it again, to upgrade a 486 computer. After I did all the upgrades, it still didn't run right. It would have been easier to just go out and buy a brand new one. We live, said Toffler, in a throwaway society. We live in a one-time use society. And in turn, we have spawned a throwaway mentality. We have come to expect even relationships that we have to be characterized by short durations. For example, and I'm going to step on some toes here, but when we move our pastors too often, pastoral ties with churches remain shallow. A pastor and his family become like the neighbor who moved in next door and who moved out before you got to even know him or her and their dreams and their needs. Relationships on the job are distant. That's the kind of world we're living in today. In our society today, blink an eye and everything changes. We travel more in a year than our parents did in a lifetime. I gotta tell you, I have been literally this year so far on hundreds of planes. We commute to work and we jet away on vacations. Only a few decades ago, the homes that we lived in were lifetime dwellings. You know, the places where you lived your whole lifetime. Not anymore. Jobs are continually changing. I said we live in a world of change. Even when we don't change jobs, guess what? The jobs change. Mergers, acquisitions, reorganizations, downsizing, blink an eye, and everything changes. To face future shock, said this writer, we don't have to deny change. He said we have to learn how to manage it. But look how he said we need to manage it. By constructing what he called permanent personal stability zones. There's got to be some part of your life that is stable. Because those, what he calls stability zones, those areas of your life that remain constant, help you weather the onslaught of the future. A stable marriage will reduce the shock of a company shakeup. You don't want to be go through downsizing on the job and at home at the same time. You understand what I'm saying? One creative idea, he said, is the development of enclaves of the past. Develop communities in which, he said, turnover, novelty, and choice are deliberately limited. Sounds like some churches I know. You know, communities where, he said, individuals can escape overstimulation. Think about it. This is the only place you come in your life to hear a man or woman get up to proclaim the truths of the gospel. Face to face. One strategy to survive in business today, another writer said, listen to this, and I came across this, it shocked me. He said, you got to. This is how corporations think today, because change is just part of the way we live. One corporate mind said, you got to mount completely independent teams in your business that, listen, that attack and make obsolete your most cherished product lines and services. He says, you got to build in your business teams that attack your services and product lines before your competitors do. You got to work at it before they get to it. Brothers and sisters, very little in our world carries with it a sense of permanence. Every once in a while, I'll go back to the old country where I was born, to Trinidad, to the places where I grew up, the places of my fondest memories. I'll go back to Montreal, where I grew up, hoping against hope that little has changed. And inevitably, one of the things I come away with is how much everything has changed. I go back, you know, looking for those wide open spaces where I used to run and play. Have mercy. I see strip malls now, where those wide open spaces used to be. It's beginning to seem like the only thing with any sense of permanence in life are your memories, and even they are fading. Some of us remember the days when the best toys you had were the ones you made. See, some of us didn't always grow up having toys that were bought. If you're old enough to remember those days, just let me see your hand this morning. Say, I remember. I remember making my first slingshot. Huh? You remember rubber band, a piece of, come on now. Some of you remember making mud pies. I was never into mud pies. Give me the real thing. Some reminisce about the days of making a snowman in the snow or ice skating on a community pond. I remember those days. I remember growing up in Montreal, it used to be so cold that, you know, 30, 40 below. And to get to school, you had to walk 10 blocks and there were apartment buildings. And it was so cold that all we could do was run from one apartment building lobby to the other and warm up and keep going until we got to school. Some are old enough to remember sewing. Making clothes for their dolls. Some of you saying, dolls? I was making clothes for myself. Things have changed. Things are changing. The things we used to do, we don't do anymore. I confess to you, the first furniture that my wife and I owned, I built. Yes, me. What actually happened was I went down to the furniture store. We were just married a few months, and when I looked at the prices, I got sticker shock. I said, no, this couldn't be. And back then, it was a conversation pit. You know, that was the rage. And so I was just resting in bed trying to figure out how we're going to get furniture, and it just dawned on me what I could do. So the next day I went back to the store with a ruler. And the man was looking at me, and I said, I just want to see if this will fit in my house, I said. And I measured it, every length of it, and went outside in the car as fast as I could, wrote down the measurements, and order some plywood. Are you with me today? Real strong plywood. And for months, poor Pastor Henderson was living downstairs at the seminary. They heard pounding for months. Oh, things have changed. People have changed. Situations, conditions, laws change. Cultures change. Morals have changed. Opinions change, looks, fads. I used to buy my clothes from the Eleganza catalog. Yeah, you'd have to be old enough to know what that was. The Superfly catalog. But things have changed. Some changes are for the better, thank you, Jesus. Theories change, philosophies have changed. You buy the latest and the greatest, and by the time you get it home, it is outdated. Amen? Amen. Obsolete. You're even scared to buy a 1999 because 2000 is coming. Let me try to illustrate to you the lightning speed with which changes have taken place in our world. In 4000 BC, the fastest transportation man had to travel long distances was the camel, at a breakneck speed of 8 miles an hour. 2,400 years later, when the horse-driven chariot was invented, 2,400 years later, the maximum speed was raised to a whopping 20 miles an hour. 4,000 years later, around 1825, the first locomotive train hit a top speed of 13 miles an hour. 60 years later, with the help of a more advanced steam locomotive, man reached a speed of 100 miles an hour. 58 years later, man was traveling at speeds of over 400 miles an hour in an airplane. By the 1960s, man was traveling 4,000 miles per hour in his rockets. And now astronauts in their shuttles orbit the Earth at a speed of over 18,000 miles an hour. What a world. The changes are coming so fast that we as human beings are finding it difficult to cope with the blistering speed, what I call the blitzkrieg of speed, changing our world. Many professionals like doctors and theologians, philosophers are all complaining that change is happening so fast that they can't even keep up with the latest developments in their own fields. Now, you know that's true. If you were a nurse and you stopped nursing for a while, try to go back. You have to be totally re-educated. But as we inch ever closer to a new millennium, with everything changing all around us, I got a word from the Lord today. God's word says in Matthew 24, 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And our scripture, Hebrews 13, 8, God's words tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In a world without anchors and sure foundations, we proclaim that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. While all of us are changed every day by the imperial, what I call the imperial demands of time, there was one of our race who did not fall under the tyrannical dominion of time. His name is Jesus. He is, says our scripture, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He predates time. Hallelujah. He antedates time. This Christ of our scripture supersedes and transcends time. How come? Because he was the originator of time. He ushered time into existence. Time is his servant, not his master. And one day he will gather time together and speak it out of existence. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Eternity is his possession and his native domain. You didn't hear me today. Eternity is his possession and his native domain. He does not live in eternity. Eternity lives in him. It is his possession. That is why he is the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The poet once wrote, time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. So build your hopes on things eternal. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. David said in Psalm 90, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And verse 4 of chapter 90, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. He is the same yesterday. In him we have assurance of pardon. I'm amazed at how many people are scared as we approach the year 2000. People are shutting stuff down. Anxious about the arrival of the year 2000. Folks are worried. The planes are going to start falling out the sky. You know you're thinking about it. Why are you worried about Y2K when the word of God says that our God is our refuge and our strength and our, hallelujah, our very present help in all trouble? We, come on, finish it with me. We will not fear though the what? Though the earth be removed. What you worried about? When all around people are anxious and fretful about, worrying about Y2K, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. What you worried about? He will not suffer your foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will neither sleep nor slumber. What you worried about? The Lord will preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy, what? Going out and your coming in. What you worried about? Thank you, Jesus. He is the same yesterday. Yesterday I found him precious. He's precious today. And he'll be precious tomorrow. He comforted me in my pain. He held me in my sorrows. Yesterday, his name was on the lips of those who spoke God's word to me. Those precious moments of those young people who came and cradled me and held me and taught me about the love of Christ. Long since some of the people who discipled me have closed their eyes in death, but I want you to know that Jesus Christ is still the same. What he was to David and Moses, he is to me. Because he's, are you with me today? Because he's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever.
That brings us to the end of the message for today and to the end of our program for today. I do hope that you enjoyed the message and understood it. A very intriguing title indeed, An Unchanging Christ in a Changing World. If you'd like to obtain a copy of this title, please call the Seabrook Church office at 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. You'll want to ask today for program number 161. That's program number 161 to obtain a cassette copy of this very intriguing title, An Unchanging Christ in a Changing World. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I like to wish you God's richest blessings for the week and for the year and for however long you want God's richest blessings. We all need those blessings. But I invite you to join us again for another program. Until you do join us again, please remember the words of John 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.